Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580. At this point, it's a pleasure for me to welcome on the show Bruce Frankel, whose wonderful book is one that we've relied upon a number of venues. And Bruce, how is everything in New York this morning?
It's a glorious day here. It's just beautiful. The wind's blowing. Had my dog's ears up in the sky, and we're getting blown around. So
that's
great.
And they're the sure barometers for us, aren't they? Well, Bruce's book, as we've talked about here in the show, folks, I highly recommend it to you. It's called What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? Bruce is a longtime author and been on the New York Times bestseller list, trying to get his second book here to that venue as well, I imagine. But in the process of Bruce telling the stories of 12 individuals that have done extraordinary things post the age of 60, has now really thrown himself into a whole new pathway of surfacing new knowledge to help us rethink our daily lives. So, Bruce, congratulations. I understand you had quite a speaking engagement this week.
I did. It was great. I spoke at the Senior Awareness Day for Rockland County, New York's Office of the Aging, and there were about 400 people there, and it was really great. And I learned as much, of course, as anyone learned from me, I learned from them. And one of the things that really impressed me was this was an audience largely of people who volunteer around that county. And there were so many vital people there who, you know, really give their lives and work hard at unpaid work that the rest of us would have to pay for in some way if there weren't all these great volunteers out there doing this great work.
Yeah, and I think the term we wanted to talk about, too, was the Senior Awareness Day. One might think it's for those of us to be more aware of how we can help and volunteer for seniors and the like, but I heard that you actually flipped the agenda on them.
I did, and it was kind of, I had actually had this engagement on my board for a while in the word senior awareness and had written something else that I was going to say, and then the day before, I just kept staring at the word senior awareness, and all of a sudden it hit me that really what I wanted to speak about was the awareness part, not us being aware of seniors, myself included, but that if seniors are aware, it will really be better. And by aware, I mean mindful, paying attention to things, really being mindful about their lives, because, you know, so much of what happens to us as we age is in part because of the messages we accept and the ways in which we begin to shut down our lives. And I think that I may have said before, but one of the things that triggered my seeing senior awareness differently on the board that day was in the morning I had received one of those emails from my mom in Florida. She's 89. She just got a brand new computer. and she sent me some jokes that a cousin of hers sent from Atlanta to her, and they were the typical kind of jokes that get sent around between older adults sometimes, and they all hinged upon the ideas of losing your memory,
right,
increasing disability, all those jokes, and you chuckle at them and you laugh at them, but then you stop and you think, is this really healthy for this to be the main discourse for people as they get older? And the answer, I think, is very clearly no.
No, exactly.
And, you know, so I started to think about what I really wanted. You know, the reverse of that is to become aware of, first of all, to become aware of what's in those messages and how those subtle messages that are in jokes that we tell and things we say to each other are embedded in our language, are embedded in the phrases we use, like sometimers, or the ways in which we react to things, and that tends to cause us to live towards a a belief that we're going to become weaker, slower, thicker, etc. And our bodies will follow our beliefs. I mean, I think that's been shown time and again in research. And so the alternative is to be conscious of those messages, because when you're conscious of them, they don't have power. Otherwise, they're a little like carbon dioxide. You can't see it, you can't breathe it, but it'll kill you.
That's exactly right. And in fact, certainly in your book, what to do with the rest, what should I do with the rest of my life, the stories that you tapped in, there's some phenomenal stories. The dancer, the gentleman that discovered after 60, you know, a tremendous passion, ability, and skill for dancing from a performance standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the people in What Should I Do With the Rest of My Life all teach us the lessons about using, again, being, if you're attentive to your possibilities and you act upon them in some way by beginning, by taking a lesson, by following your curiosity and reading, by beginning to take lessons, more possibilities open up. And, you know, with Thomas, of course, he became this wonderful dancer and continues. I know that he's going to be in a performance. He's 76 now.
Wonderful.
And he's going to be performing next month in Washington. And, you know, I just, the thing you also, the recognizing, one of the things that happens, I think, when we allow ourselves to really pay attention is we enter into a world that's a little more uncertain about what we should do. But uncertainty is really a good thing. It's not the terrible, terrifying thing that we often think it is. So if we venture into doing something with a degree of uncertainty, that's really not a bad thing. It allows us to grow, and it promises us a dynamic rather than a static relationship with our world. And that's good. It's good for our brains, it's good for our bodies, and it's good for the possibilities that can arrive out of it. I've been thinking a lot about this, and, you know, when we cut down on our associations and with the we try to strain out the complexity of our lives, what we're really doing is making for a more rigid life.
That's a good point.
And you know, there's a biological correlate to that, which is that one of the dangers as you cut down the inputs into your life, the various messages, whether it's being in nature or reading things that are complex, you actually are causing a physiological change in your brain that cuts down the amount of messages that the brain is dealing with, and the cells actually over time will become more rigid, and that's really part of damage that's done in aging that isn't not necessarily what has to happen. I mean, we all age. There's no question about that. But the question is whether we need to age the ways in which we do. You know, in 1960, the number of people in the over 65 age group was under 10%.
Mm-hmm.
1960. By the year 2030, more than 20% of the population will be over 65. The average age in 1960 was only about just barely 70. By 2030, in 19 years, the average age will have climbed past 80. So we have to remember that our perspective on age is not really, we're not dealing with a fixed thing. We're basing that on perception.
And in fact, even this word, senior awareness, you know, you almost have to ask yourself, well, what does it mean to be a senior?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, just even the word, is it defined by an age? Is it defined by a stage of your physical, mental, emotional development? Or is it defined by, quote, when you retire from something or retire to something? I mean, with people reinventing themselves constantly, certainly the 12 stories in your book, or even look at your own life, Bruce, the things you're now sitting here talking and reading about, all these things about the brain that I bet you 3 years ago you would have said, who, me?
Well, indeed, and you know, in truth, I always shied away from anything scientific because my brother was scientifically inclined and studied neurology, and I avoided it because I didn't really want to be in competition with him at some level, and so I always shied away from the sciences. And having begun to learn about neuroscience about 4 years ago, it opened up a new world to me, and indeed, there I am on stage speaking to people in a way that I couldn't possibly have ever imagined 4 years ago.
Well, even more importantly, that when we caught you last week, last month, we partnered your segment with your son's segment for Alex and his musical colleague Nick, and the fact that you and Nick's father, you know, are actually playing your sons in their music video to accompany their new album. You mentioned you were going to show that to at the speech you gave this week. How did that go? Did you get a chance to show it?
I did, and it was really great. It was, it's one of those moments that you wish you could, like, have on an iPod to show everyone, and maybe I will be able to do that because there was someone filming. But so at the end of my presentation, to show that I don't just talk the talk, but I'm trying to walk the walk of living and experiencing and challenging myself with novelty and learning new things, I did a PowerPoint for the first time in my life that was novel, but then I showed the video, the audience was, I bet the average age was probably 75, and they loved it. They really loved it, and so many people came up to me afterwards and asked me where they could get a copy of Holy Ghost.
Don't you love it? The album. Wonderful. And so now you of course, are going to get a retainer back from your son for all those years you foot the bills for him, right?
I'll just settle for his paying me back for the dog sitter the 2 days I had to work on the shoot, to be honest.
That's terrific. Well, the other messages about senior awareness, you know, I think Bruce, what you were telling us, and this is for all of our listeners, regardless what our age or our stage is in our career and life, it goes back to this idea of, indeed, I loved your comment there about that our beliefs really are going to shape where we're headed on this one. And so our fundamental belief, regardless of how old we are, if we think we can, or we can go for it with our best gusto. But I think also your comment about us having to be really mindful and fence out the things, cultural, social jokes, you know, comments made by other people that may be well-intentioned, but they don't recognize the insidiousness, that's going to get in the path of our own stepping forward.
Yeah, and I don't think it means that we have to be humorless and stop people from saying jokes. I think that when you're mindful, you can be in both places at once. You could both laugh and you could recognize what's in the message, because once you have the awareness of it, it doesn't have the power over you that it does if you're not aware. But, you know, I've also been thinking a lot about this, Sara, and I'd love your impressions, which is, you know, really this kind of mindfulness about aging, it's really important to begin thinking early in our lives, because so many of the issues of aging and what happens to us in later stages of life, we actually probably, if we lived more mindfully and realized that we were probably going to have a multi-layered life over time, if we had only thought about it in some clear way financially, you know, all these baby boomers, myself included, who didn't really think that we would need money in the future. If I'd really thought about managing my money differently in my 20s and 30s, you know, I might not face some of the issues I now face.
Yes, and I think you're right. In fact, I think we've got a great segment coming up, the next two in particular. This idea you have to puzzle with the puzzle. In other words, it's a verb and a noun, that you don't necessarily want to predetermine everything in your life so that it puts you on, you would say, a rigid path, but one that keeps you open and mindful of possibilities. Well, Bruce, thanks for the contributions here. And again, I want to remind our listeners that Bruce's book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life, you can go out into his site, Bruce Frankel, FRANKEL.com, and catch up with his blogs and his
banners.
.net, thank you. And catch up with his various speaking engagements and this whole idea of Awareness Day, whether we call it senior or otherwise. Thanks for joining us here today, Bruce.
Thank you, Sarah.
You bet, my pleasure.
Be well.
Thank you.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.